Really interesting story this week, Newsman, about the latest way that social media is destroying civilization as we know it.
That sounds like a bit of an overstatement, but go on.
Well, I don't want to pump it up too much. Hopefully I didn't. But there's a new phenomenon, or phenomena, whichever, I'm not sure, that we all need to be aware of because it's ruining our romantic relationships. And let me know if you've heard of this. It's called fubbing.
You're going to have to expand. It sounds weird, like something you might do in the bath, but no. Please explain to us.
Okay. Fubbing is when you... this is what it is. It's snubbing someone mid-conversation in order to check our phone.
Tim, web guy, I think I have a problem. I think I'm a fubber.
You are a giant fubber.
Mm.
Well, you're not the only one.
Okay.
Because what we're learning this week is that the act of fubbing is dramatically on the rise. Way, way on the rise. The latest research has revealed that on average, we look at our phones 150 times a day.
That is amazing, isn't it?
Does that feel about right to you? Just, you know, instinctively?
Thankfully, I find when I'm at work, I can steer clear of my phone most of the time. I reckon I check it once or twice an hour, but when I'm at home and I'm a bit bored, the TV's not really engaging, I can be flicking on and off that bad boy a lot.
Yeah. Do you do it, though, mid-conversation?
I'd have to go back and look at the tapes, but I wouldn't be surprised if I'm guilty of this. Because I think a lot of the time you feel like you are able to engage in a conversation but look at things on your phone at the same time.
Sorry, I'm just fubbing you right now.
Exactly. But in reality, it's very hard to concentrate on both things, especially when you're a man.
Well, okay, yeah. But then let's narrow it down. You know, when it comes to your significant other, I mean, sure, you might fub your a work colleague, you might fub, you know, a friend, but you know, your significant other, are we really fubbing them?
I did feel, well, it doesn't matter. I mean, I did feel a little bit hurt when I was expressing my fubbing behaviour and you were just staring deeply onto your smartphone. So,
Hang on, are you saying I'm your significant other?
No. Anyway, I think you're right. Most people would be able to hold. No, I think it's actually, I think it's worse. I think it would be more prevalent with your significant other because you're comfortable in their company.
Mm.
You don't have to hold those graces and airs about it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because it comes back to that eternal tragedy. We hurt the
Can I make another admission? I think I've fubbed with my little daughters.
Oh, well, that's a good point. Fubbing of your own kids. I mean, at the age your kids are, which is young.
Still very young. Yeah, infants. So I think I might have done it a few times when... And my partners called me up on it, feeding the babies and sort of watching TV. And as they sort of gaze up, their little innocent faces gazing up at me, I'm sort of gazing over their shoulder at...
You're busy fubbing.
A meme, yeah.
Now, you've got to be careful with that because I think if you fub your kids, well, get ready for them to fub you. You know, it's like a...
Yeah.
It's a karma. It's a karmic thing, you know. If you do a lot of fubbing, then you can probably expect to get fubbed a lot yourself. Just a quick stat on the fubbing. How's this? This study of fubbing. I just like the word.
Yeah.
I like to say it a lot. It's a good word.
Fub be good to me. Is that a 90s song?
I'm not sure.
We'll have to Google that one.
I don't remember the 90s. now, 143 individuals involved in romantic relationships were examined. Sample size of 143 people. 70% said admitted to fubbing their partner to some degree.
Right.
So that's huge. 70%.
What if there's mutual fubbing? I think there would be a fair bit of those people would be mutual fubbing. So they're sort of both in and out of the conversation.
Well, yeah, but here's the thing. I think you've got to agree. I think you've got to set out the terms of the fubbing arrangement. Because here, let me give you this quote. This is how to save a relationship from fubbing. So if you feel like you're fubbing, your partner's fubbing, there's just all around too much fubbing going on, do this. Here's the quote from this expert quoted in this media story. Sit down together and set out some rules about phone-free time, where you basically put your phone away somewhere where you can't hear it, for a full hour every night while you and your partner spend some quality time together. End of quote. So I guess you just, you know, stake out some time where it's going to be no phones, and then beyond that, I guess it's just a fub free for all. But you've got to carve out that little space to make sure you're not completely neglecting each other.
Is it a similar problem with a different technology? I'm sure there'd be many couples that find that TV is a very distracting part of their evening, and if you just set aside an hour, you said no, we won't watch TV just for the sake of it. Mm-hmm. We'll turn it off and maybe look at each other. And
that's a really good point. I think in the 1920s, everyone was very busy reading their telegrams and would ignore their partner because they were engrossed in their telegrams. And even before that, you know, husbands would often be distracted by the Morse code message coming through their machine.
So the, you know, honey, I've had a bad day. Beep, 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 beep. You're not even listening to me.
Yeah, I'm sure it's been an eternal problem. Maybe social media is helping us be more aware of it. Maybe it's a good thing. Maybe being aware of how we're neglecting the ones closest to us, maybe it's really brought this to our attention. So, you know, I'm gonna make a pact to not fub. To be honest, I don't think I'm a huge fubber. I'm well aware of the risks of being on a phone too much. I'm pretty much as anti-phone as you can be while still having one and working.
You're online the whole day, though. I suppose I am as well. But.
Well, that's the thing. If after a day's work, I mean, doesn't everyone just want to get off the phone for a little bit?
Mm. Thank you for this segment. I'm a fubber. I'm ashamed, but I will change my ways.
Onwards and upwards. Marcus, I surf the internet, spend time on social media. I'm trawling that thing all the time. And I'll be honest, I spend a lot of the week just battling with myself. I just read these stories. Well, you don't read the stories. You just see the little link pop up in your feed. And I'll spend a lot of time trying to fight the urge to click on a lot of these things.
I'm guessing in your job, you really have to be selective. Otherwise, you'd spend all day just thousands of articles wasting your time.
You'd be stuck there forever. You got to filter this stuff. So there's a lot that I see that I think, I'd like to click on it, but no, let's stay focused.
But you've been tempted.
I've been tempted and I've succumbed this week because this story has appeared day after day after day in my feed. I can ignore it for a day. I can ignore it for 2 days, 3, 4 days, and it's still popping up. I give in and I clicked on it. And you would understand the concept of a rider.
Explain it if people don't know what it is.
A musical artist, usually they're music people, will request a venue have certain items on hand for them in their little backstage area.
It's one of those mysterious parts of being a rock star. You hear about them smashing guitars and throwing TVs out windows.
Yeah.
But this is also part of being a rock star.
Yeah, this is a big reason why a lot get into the business, I'm sure. And what we learned, what this story rolling around this week was that Ed Sheeran, famous pop star of the moment, his rider for a big festival has leaked. It's got out.
Would it be hair dye?
Well, we'll get to Ed's in a second. But just to put his requests into some context, let's just have a quick look through some of the best, the wackiest.
There would be plenty.
Yeah, well, let's call them insane rider requests. Probably the most nuts, and it's no surprise, is Mariah Carey's rider requests.
Did Mariah make a appearance in our first podcast?
Something
maybe. About him miming, or was that someone else?
I don't know.
On New Year's Eve.
Oh, she did, that's right, yeah.
Well, she's back. What's she done this time?
She's a favourite topic of ours. This is what she requests. bottles of vitamin water to bathe her dogs in.
Right.
And an attendant on hand at all times to dispose of her used chewing gum.
No way.
There's more. And lastly, 20 white kittens and 100 white doves, please.
No, this isn't true.
Well, that's what they say. Look, this is...
I guess if anyone was going to request this...
You can believe that, can't you? That she would ask for that.
I think the first ones are more believable. The vitamin water for your pets. Sounds ridiculous, but you can imagine a real pet lover.
Yeah, that's reasonable.
Yep.
That's reasonable. Madonna has some quirky requests. She demands a brand new toilet seat at every venue.
Ah. Well, I guess if you're a real germaphobe. I know someone that we work with that would, if he was a rock star, he's a bit of a utility at our station, I think he would request a fresh toilet seat if he could.
How do you know it's brand new? Like, do you need a tag?
Oh, there'd be a plastic film wrap on it.
Oh, yeah. She also has some flower requests. She needs lilies and roses, but they have to be white and light pink only. And the stems have to be specifically trimmed to exactly 6 inches.
Right, she loves her flowers and 6 inches, yeah.
Now, speaking of flowers, these are the requests of Paul McCartney, and they're all very flower-related. Ugh. He, during the week, basically announced that he hates Adelaide. God. That was essentially what he said. He's touring Australia, but he's going to miss Adelaide. Uh-oh. So we don't actually need to worry about putting this together for him, but everywhere else we'll need to give him 6 full and leafy floor plants. And here's the important part. The plants must be as full on the bottom as on the top. Specifically, there must be no tree trunks. Trunkophobia, obviously, he suffers from.
Would they really be this specific? Like, I can get saying I want to have some plants if I'm going to be...
Yeah.
I want to feel a little bit...
Yeah.
But
Marcus.
That, yeah.
They're artists.
Yes.
Okay? They need a specific set of... circumstances to be able to do their art. And who are we to question?
And they're big names, so they can have whatever they want.
Yeah, his list goes on. It's boring, but he just wants flowers, blah, blah, blah. Specific request. Anyway, we don't care for McCartney. Rolling Stones. Now, you can imagine in their heyday, they would have been asking for who knows what. These days, they it's toned down a little bit. They still request or require... a fairly standard supply of alcohol and cigarettes, as well as butlers on hand 24 hours a day. And, you know, the Stones, all in their 70s now, basically, they also have this request, a set of written instructions on how to use the electronics in their hotel rooms.
I guess they're at that age where they're like everyday dads.
Yeah,
how do I use the...
Just practical. I just need to know how to turn the AC on.
No, press mode. 3 times.
Ronnie, get the instructions. Yeah, well, how have their lives changed? Anyway, so that's what we're talking about when we talk about riders. But Ed Sheeran's has come out now. And in comparison to what you might expect, his seems... Well, I'll read it out and you can make your own judgment. He requires a bottle of fruit squash, some Coke, some Diet Coke, some Fanta, some Sprite, and a jar of honey. Now, I spot a theme running through those requests.
Loves soft drink.
He's a big fan of soft drink.
And he likes his variety. He doesn't know what he wants from day to day. He might be having a Diet Coke day. Then other days he might treat himself and have a Fanta.
I wonder when he does an Adelaide show... what's our, like, famous Woodruff's lemonade?
Woody's lemonade.
You should just say, now, Ed, I know you wanted Fanta, but this is better. Try this Woody's lemonade.
Kirk's. Diet Kirk's.
Yeah, I reckon he
well,
might.
Well, that's reasonable. That's a guy that just likes a bit of soft drink.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing exotic, just your normal.
Just keep it real. Just needs a sugar hit before the shows, apparently.
What would be on your list?
I would either go unbelievably elaborate and ask for a ceramic unicorn draped in a feather boa.
Not a what is it? A top hat with a olive flag.
But honestly, probably at the end of the day, I just say, look, guys, if you could just make sure there's a phone charger in the room, that'd be good.
That is actually one of probably the best requests anyone could ask. Because your life would be a disaster if you leave your phone charger at home.
Yeah, and everyone's losing it constantly.
I guess when you get to that position where people are asking, what do you want? We will cater to your needs.
Mm.
Your brain will take you to a new place.
Mm.
For you, it's a phone charger and the unicorn. But I can sort of understand how things get out of control if people are willing to meet your demands. But
what would you ask for?
Oh, I think a lot of chocolate, a fridge full of chocolate or something, just so it's there. Or
yeah. Do you know what's a good one? A lot of spare shirts. I'd want more shirts than I could wear, just so I could, you know, like change shirts like 5 times during the day. That would be my idea of being extravagant.
It to me, they're obviously lists of what they do to accommodate themselves on a tour, but basically it's like having your own personal, it's like a genie. I wish for and see what happens.
You can only ask for 3 things. I wonder if this is a bit of an insight into how they actually live. Like maybe this is just, at the point when you're Madonna, maybe this is just how you live your everyday life. Maybe it's no big deal to request flowers trimmed to a 6-inch stem, because that's just day in, day out, basic stuff.
We can only wish for that.
It'll happen. Don't worry, we'll get there. Stunning story this week, Marcus. Hard to tell if it is a news story or a gripping miniseries straight off the screens of our TVs.
We're talking about Kerabakan Prison and an escape.
Yep, Aussie guy. I'm inclined to call him an Aussie larrikin. He looks like a knockabout sort of bloke, but I guess actually he's really just a hardened criminal, probably is more accurate. Has been doing time in Bali after he actually fled Australia. When he skipped a court appearance, headed over to Bali, he's been living large over there. Authorities caught up with him eventually.
Fake passport or something like
that? Yeah, something like that. And he's been doing some tough time on the inside. Kerabakan, don't know.
Either, tomato, tomato.
that prison, the Bali prison, you know, not a fun place to be, pretty rugged place to be. You know, that's where they keep all the real serious wrongdoers.
Chappelle's home for a while.
Chappelle, yeah.
Bali 9?
Yeah, Bali 9, yep. Who's anyone.
It's serious. It's a serious prison.
Yeah, they don't put you in there just to muck around. Anyway, he, with only 2 months left to go, has broken out.
You just don't hear about that in Bali. I would have thought Indonesia would be pretty low-key and keeping those things pretty quiet. But, yeah, that's...
Well, yeah, I mean, keep them in the prison even first off. Like, don't worry about the PR fallout. Like, maybe actually just keep the prisoners inside. But 4 of them got out. And here's the thing. They dug a tunnel under the wall. So, you know, not really any groundbreaking criminal strategy there. Hey, let's get out of the prison. Let's dig a hole. But they've apparently they think these guys used a fork and a bucket.
That's some slow digging.
And they must have done it in a night, because they were there when the guards locked up, and then by the morning, nowhere to be found. And they still haven't been found. Now, it gets a little bleak at this point, because they don't know if the guys actually got out and escaped, or whether they're actually still trapped somewhere in that tunnel. And even potentially might have even drowned in there, because it was filled with water, really, the tunnel, by the time authorities found it. So a bit potentially morbid.
Several metres long, more than 10, was it 10 to 15 metres long?
Yeah, that sounds about
but
right.
But only about 40 centimetres wide, so a real only wriggle room, really.
Yeah, I mean, imagine getting stuck down there. So anyway, they're going to try and, you know, get through the... They haven't even been able to excavate the tunnel properly because it's because of weather conditions. But anyway, they're going to get in there, and I guess they're actually hoping to not find them in there. Now, there's another twist in this one, and this is where, you know, this is just made for TV, this story. Like, tragedy aside, hopefully no one's really injured. But if they're not, then this has got prime time all over it, because the guy looks like a movie star already anyway. Tattoos, blue eyes, blah blah, like a young Mel Gibson. Maybe Mel could come back and play the role.
Nah, Mel's not capable of that anymore.
Yeah, it's
the
gone
young
past
heartthrob,
him.
He's past that.
It's gone past him.
But yeah, definitely a movie there, I think.
Because there's another term which I was meaning to get to, which is, amid all the worry, did they get out of the tunnel? Are they still in the tunnel? This guy's Facebook profile, the name attached to his Facebook page, has actually changed. Bum, bum, bum.
So, what are you assuming from that?
I'm assuming that he's sitting on the coast of Mexico and just logging into Facebook, and he's just undergoing a complete identity transformation.
Waiting for Morgan Freeman to catch up with him years down the track. To me, this smacks Shawshank Redemption. I don't know if comparisons have been made. The muddy, murky tunnel,
mm-hmm.
the grim discovery by the prison guards.
Mm-hmm.
And, hopefully... I don't know, is it wrong that part of me enjoys escape stories from prisons?
Oh, everyone does. It's amazing, isn't it?
Criminals.
Yeah, they are. I don't think we're necessarily wanting the criminals to escape, but just the sheer daring of it, because prison is foreign enough. Like, most of us have no idea about prison. It's quite, scary place that most of us have never really been to. To think that you're in there and then you get out, because, I mean, must the conditions be in there that with only 2 months to go, he's so desperate to get out that he's dug a tunnel under the wall?
The mindset of this guy, I don't understand, as you said, and we've discussed this earlier. Once you've mentally got through 10 months, you would have thought, I can do two more.
Mm. It's not a real stretch, is it? You've broken the back of it at the 10-month part.
And what sort of penalty he'll face once they catch him is a bit scary as well. So you go from a year in prison to possibly a lot worse.
Unless he actually is wanting to extend his sentence. I think his brother was quoted as calling this guy a madman. And I don't know if it was him or... I don't know. I think there was a theory floating around that maybe he's not actually having that bad a time in there. He seems to have been streaming live to Facebook at some point. There's video of him inside the prison with his cellmate. He didn't seem too down about the whole thing.
There was an example of a criminal in South Australia who was mocking police on social media, sort of turning up in front of police stations and things like that.
Uh-huh.
Once you meddle with Facebook and your profile, you're fairly trackable, aren't you? Or is there no way of knowing exactly where your activity is coming from?
They should be able to trace, I guess, an address. Trace that edit back to an address. It may not have been him who changed the name. I think there's talk. I mean, it could have been a relative, a friend. Someone might have, logged in, done it for him. It seems a bit sus, though. And in the absence of any actual fact, I like to think that he's done it. And he's probably put on a blonde wig, changed his appearance a little bit, changed his name.
Suitcase full of money.
He could be walking among us. We don't even know.
It's all very mysterious.
Anyway, we're going to get out of here and start working on the TV script for this thing.